Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now. Welcome to On Wheels Now. It's your inside look at local motorsports, where racers, crews, fans, and just about anybody can come and talk about racing. I am, unfortunately, your host tonight, Justin Griffiths. Alongside me is the man on a mission, Mr. Gary White. How you doing, Gary?
Good. How's it going?
It's going. No, yes. Michael, no Matt.
It's going great.
Joining us tonight, not Cindy Clark,
yet.
Is Race to a Race 22, Debbie Burgess?
Burgos. You're close.
Burgos.
You're good.
I know I'm a bunch of this name. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming in, Debbie.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. You want to?
Go ahead. Chica. Uh-oh. I thought that was Cindy, but nope.
No, we're missing Cindy right now.
Yes, we are.
She's speeding safely here.
Yes, she is.
No, safely.
Well, it is Cindy. So, tell us what you're about. I know very little, so I know our listeners don't know much.
What?
Some may, some do. So.
All right, I'd be happy to. We are a local, all-volunteer nonprofit. Race to Race 22 was started in 2016. Prior to that, we were helping other veteran charities in Nevada and Southern California. We raise awareness about military and first responder suicide, provide information and education about resources already available in local communities and nationally, and then we connect, hopefully, people, those in need, to those resources. We also offer a little dirt therapy through off-road recreation, whether it's off-road racing, Jeep adventures, rock crawling, those sort of things. We think everybody needs a little dirt therapy in their life.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we try to fulfill. It's always been something to the team spirit, you know, being a part of a team. As you guys are racers, you know, that kind of working together to get a mission done is so close to the military life that we think it's the perfect fit, and that's kind of how we feel. So we're hoping that we can get veterans in active duty as well involved in some sort of racing or just an off-road team, in hopes that then they can have a new support system, a new team to hang out with. And it's been very successful so far.
Well, I remember, I believe it was last year, the Bullring. I don't know if you – yeah. And I remember all the cars had different pictures of the different veterans or – anything. So you were out there for that?
Yeah, we were. Actually, we were invited by Cindy and the wonderful team at the Bullring. We have a never forgotten memorial wall, and it highlights just a small representation of those we've lost to military and first responder suicide. So what we did is, and what we continue to do at different races and actually any kind of event, is we ask the participants to carry a photograph of one of our fallen warriors, in honor of their service, not how they died, but how they lived and how they served our country. In honor of their service, as well as making sure they're not forgotten. We've learned, especially speaking with all the families, that their biggest fear is that their memory of their loved one is going to be forgotten all too often, especially since they have died by suicide. They're not talked about a lot, even though they're suffering from wounds serving our country. So it's really important to us to make sure that they are remembered, and every race we go to, no matter who it is, the racers are the first one to say, "Hey, I want to carry." Yeah. And what happens, it turns into this huge, wonderful moment, because then we take a photograph of the racer with the photograph on the race vehicle, post it on our social media accounts. I typically try to tag the family or loved ones or those they served with. I'm going to let them know that this, racer is carrying your loved one, and that starts this communication on social media, and the families thank them, the racers then, talk to them, and it turns into an amazing moment, but it also is another network of support.
I know there's actually a full few bullring racers that actually left it on their cars and inside. I know my brother mounted his right on the front dash because, you know, other guys mounted them on the windows and stuff like that. So is it only off-road racing you guys focus on, or is there different type of racing, or?
It's actually any form of racing. And I mean, race two or race 22, it says race in the word, but it also is we're racing against suicide. Yeah. We're trying to prevent it. So now we are open to anyone who wants to carry. We, you know, would love for them to carry it for us. And we haven't been out to the bull ring as often as we'd like. We'll try to get out there more often. The off-road world is where we came from. We've been racing since the 80s. Or been a part of event organizations in town. So that's kind of naturally where we came from. But again, anytime a racer wants to carry, we're happy to have them do it. We have a lot of support from the bullring racers, especially the kids, mm-hmm. which has been amazing. The families have reached out and said, you know, my son, my daughter wants to carry. So it's been just so overwhelming and wonderful to see and appreciate the support.
Now, your background, did you guys come from a military family, or was there a racing family, or what made the connection with you guys?
Well, military, actually, my father is a World War II veteran, Marine, and has passed on. My brother, Navy veteran, my father-in-law, a Korean Army veteran. My entire family is buried out at Southern Nevada Memorial Cemetery in Boulder City. I'm the only one left. And my husband's family as well, a lot of his family has served. So we didn't serve. But it's our way of giving back and thanking our military for everything they've done and everything they do and all the sacrifices. And we also, like I said, come back from off-road racing from the early original Mint 100 and 400 days, Frontier 400, all those days. We're native Las Vegans, born and raised, my husband and myself. So Las Vegas is the off-road capital of the world. You know, anybody you ask, they'll tell you, we have some of the most wonderful, amazing racers here in Las Vegas. And also, Brendan Gaughan is a huge supporter of us and the entire Gaughan family in the South Point Hotel. So as soon as we start our mission, they step right on board. In fact, Brendan just sent a message earlier today, a posted support of our mission. So we love them and can't thank them enough. And like I said, anybody with asphalt or pavement or dirt, and they're in a race car, we are happy to support them because they support us.
So what about you? Did you ever get in a race car or anything, or your dirt cars?
Okay, now I'm going to tell you. Now I'm going to age myself because I used to race three-wheelers, so don't judge.
That's a death trap right there.
So we raced three-wheelers, and then we learned that, okay, maybe we should have four-wheels. So we did ATVs, four-wheelers, quads. And then my daughter actually was raced a Class 7 truck. Mm-hmm. So she let me race her truck once, and I broke it. So I haven't really gotten a vehicle too much, but I really enjoy being on the other side of it. We've done a lot, volunteered for Southern Nevada Off-Road Racing Enthusiasts, a local off-road racing organization for many years. We've sat on the board and helped put those on, as well as other organizations, and just love, you know, the community, whether, like I said, it's dirt or even we found with pavement racers, they're there to support you, especially our local racers. They don't care if they're competing against you, they'll help you.
The racing community, it's no matter what you're doing, it's usually a big family. I mean, they might bicker and fight, but what family doesn't?
Oh, exactly. And that's why we love it. And like I said, that's what the perfect fit is. And also very patriotic and support our military and law enforcement especially. So it's just been open. They welcomed us with open arms, which we truly appreciate. We just had the Speedway has been a huge supporter of ours, Norfolk Motor Speedway. In fact, this last race, they donated over 1,200 tickets, which we gave out, all of them out, which was really wonderful to see. And I had a disabled veteran. He's actually a Olympic gold medalist in the Paralympics. He is in the bobsled team, but he got to go out to the race for the first time Saturday and Sunday, and he's ready to race. He goes, can I get I want a team and a car. I go, well, hang on. It's baby steps, and that's, you know, let's see what we can get you out there in. But he had the most amazing time. But again, that was something that was the highlight of his weekend. And so that's what we wanted to do, whether we connect them to be as spectators participants or part of a pit support team. Just being part of the whole excitement is what we're trying to do.
Miss Cindy. We'll let her grab her mic before we start talking to her. It should be.
And how did you get started?
In life or in racing, in race to race?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an exciting thing that you guys do. Like, what? How did you like come up with it?
Well, you know, we used to help another organization out of North Carolina, and it was run by a veteran, and he was doing it out west, and we helped them a lot along with another veteran who had a racetrack, and so we would provide wounded veterans with a chance to get into the navigator seat, the co-dog seat, and saw the huge difference. I mean, you don't understand until you see it for yourself, the difference it makes getting somebody who's never raced before inside a race vehicle going, you know, in some cases 120 miles an hour across the desert. So seeing that, we were just hooked, and then that organization decided not to come out west anymore. So I said, oh no, we can't stop. You know, we discovered what our passion was, and that's how we got race to race. I did a lot of research, looked into military suicide, which I knew about, but I got to be honest, from the outside looking in, I saw the number 22 and it, people talking about it, but unfortunately I never really took much interest, which is sad. So once I started talking to families and talking to the veterans in active duty and really learning the tragic number we're losing every single day, I thought, this is where we have to tell people about. And that's why we named it Race to Race 22.
How did you get involved in racing? Like, what brought you to racing in the first place?
Well, we've always been involved in off-road racing since the 80s.
Like, you were born 80s. Into it? Like,
pretty much, because we're born and raised Las Vegas. So going back to early Mint 400 days, Frontier days, that's where we got started. I was telling them earlier, on three-wheelers and eight quads is what we did. So it was a natural transition, and then we were involved later on. My daughter raced in the Class 7 truck, and then did a lot on the organization side as a volunteer and really learned that part of it. Enjoyed that. So that's kind of how we got into racing.
Was your parents like into it, or just because you grew up around it?
No, just being in Las Vegas, if you didn't know what the Mint 400 back in the day was, you weren't involved.
Yeah, I heard it was like, that's where you take the day off school.
Oh, yeah, you ditch school. Oh, yeah, you had to ditch school and go down to Tech on Fremont Street, which happens to be the Mint 400 is this week in Las Vegas. So we're really excited because we're going to play in a big part of it.
Yeah, tell us about that. So you're going to have a booth down there?
Yeah, so on Thursday from 9 to 5, the Mint 400 will have their Tech and contingency inspection, which is all the vehicles, which they have, I think, right now, the last count was 450 race vehicles.
Woo-hoo.
It's one of their largest car counts. And they will be in parade down. Well, there's a parade tomorrow, actually, down Las Vegas Boulevard. So they close down the strip for these vehicles later in the afternoon, and then they end up at the Strat Hotel for a big opening party. But on Thursday, these vehicles will go through the vendor and vendor row, and there'll be all kinds of different kinds of booths. People can go down and get shirts, food, all kinds of fun. But like I said, they'll probably have 100,000 people through the course of the day just checking out these vehicles. We'll have our booth because what we're going to do is try to ask every single car to carry a fallen warrior, which it would be so freaking amazing if we could have every car have a fallen warrior with them on board. And then we also talk to visitors about what Race to Race is and the resources available, not only here locally, but nationally for our veterans and active duty and first responders. So that's really a big part of it, because last year, I can tell you, at the Mint 400 Tech, we met a veteran who was just a tourist in town, saw the Mint 400 going on, all the excitement, decided to go check it out and saw our booth. And he started talking to another veteran that was standing there and just broke down and said, I'm in a bad place. And we got him help. And now he is flourishing. We connect him to resources in Texas where he's from. And that's what it's about. It's about conversations that we can make that everyone can make, and getting, you know, people to know that, look, we're all here for you. And that's what happens. I think a lot of our, especially our law enforcement, they don't think that people are behind, are supporting them. And there's a huge nation. You know, there's so many people who support our law enforcement, our first responders, and our military, that we need to let them know and make sure that they know.
Yeah, it gives me chills. That's a great story. That's amazing. 100,000 spectators, maybe. No,
that's what they, I mean, that's what they anticipate. I know in years past it's been packed down there. And it's throughout the day. It's all at once, of course. But yeah, no, it's exciting because there's, like I said, all different kinds of booths, not only racing equipment or supplies, but all kinds of t-shirts, anything you could think of is going to be there. Entertainment will be there. A lot of celebrities, beef jerky. Yes, definitely. They'll be there. Baja jerky will be there for sure. Wonderful people. So yeah, it's just a really festival kind of atmosphere, what it really is. So we're looking forward, and like I said, some of our local hot shots will be there. Bryce Menzie, the GOAT, greatest of all time, Rob McCracken will be racing, and so many others. We actually have three motorcycle teams. They're an active duty Nellis Air Force, and we have Skylar's racing along with Vinnie Ruiz. Then we also have a Air Force veteran racing with his daughter, Piper Wells. Jeff Wells is his name. And then another visiting team coming in to race the Mint 400. So we're going to be there supporting them on Saturday. But on Friday, there's limited racing going on out at the Mint. It's actually out in Prim. A lot of spectator areas, too, that you can go. You can go sign up at the Mint400.com. And one of the things we decided to do this year, or join in, the Mint 400 has an event called the Military Challenge. And what it is to raise awareness about different organizations across the country that do things or work to help our veterans. And so what they decided to do to help raise awareness and raise donations for these organizations, they do this challenge. So on their website, it's called the Military Challenge. And each team who signed up has like a page of their own. It has talks about what each one does, and individuals, anybody can go to that page and donate to the cause, and it's kind of a competition, but we got into really late because I really don't like fundraising, to be honest with you, but it's been a great time. We've had racers from all over posting videos. In fact, I was telling them that Brendan Gaughan and his Ryland, his son, and Brenda Gorky from Collins Motorsports posted a video from the Works race last week and about, because they all carry a fallen warrior with them every single race, and they posted it today about what Race to a Race means to them, as well as local Montez family, Scott and Caleb Montez, young man, racing in all different series. He's racing them on Saturday, as so as Brenda and Rylan, and they posted a video because they carry Mike's son, Scott Montez, which I know you're familiar with, everywhere they go. And Scott Montez is a local Navy veteran we lost in 2019 to military suicide. So our mission is near and dear to their heart. And we want to make sure that Scott, as well as all his brothers and sisters we've lost, are not forgotten.
Yeah, this isn't just something that happened somewhere else. And this is right here at home with people that we know.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Unfortunately, you know, all too often. And we've had a difficult time getting police officers, information about police officers lost to suicide, because it's still a huge stigma about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we now carry Kristen Bassantino with us. We lost her just a few months ago, but we're trying to carry more just so the officers know, listen, we know you're struggling. I'm here to support, and we have resources. There's so many resources that we can provide or that are provided by other great organizations. And so we want them to know. That's why we carry our first responders. We have now Henderson Fire Department that we carry. They've lost four in the last 3 years. Just because, you know, all those warriors, whether it's military or our law enforcement or fire, they go into the fight. You know, while we're running out for safety, they're going in. And you can't unsee what you know, some of the things that you go through. And we just need to know that, listen, we understand.
Yeah, they risk their lives for us, and not affect them. And some of them are taking their own lives. So we need to support them like they're giving their lives for us.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, there's so much stigma involved with mental health crisis, which, you know, fortunately, I think the world is under, it's getting to understand it more. All of us, you know, have things that we have to deal with, and it's difficult times. So our warriors, it's even 100 times fold what they go through. So we really need to learn to support each other. And it can be as simple as having a conversation. That's what we try to tell people. Learn to be an interrupter. It's okay to interrupt. So what that means is give a friend, someone you haven't talked to, whether they're military or not, or first responder, just someone you haven't seen in a while and you know maybe going through some stuff, give them a call. Knock on their door. Whatever you need, just interrupt that moment, because you never know what you're interrupting. And we've been told, and we know that there's been moments where someone has called someone just at the right time and interrupted something that could have been tragic. So that's what we say, you know what, it's okay, interrupt, but be nice to each other. You know, we need to be more positive in life and just so be more supportive.
Going back to, you said you have teams that are racing. What does that mean, you have teams?
Well, we actually support. So what we try to do, if we don't have someone racing, we give veterans and first responders and active duty a chance to be a guest in a race vehicle typically. This meant we don't, but what we do is supporting some teams with helping with race entries, pit support, and they're our teams. So we adopt them. So I call them our teams. And they actually have adopted us as well. They're racing in honor of our mission and to raise awareness with us. So we have 3 dirt bike teams that are racing on Saturday morning. And like I was saying, that they're Nellis Air Force Base. We have one gentleman and then an Air Force veteran and his daughter. And then we have an active duty Air Force and a Marine veteran coming in from out of state, but racing under our name, because they understand. They all know every single one. If you have served, you have lost someone to suicide.
Yeah.
So it's near and dear to their hearts. And now we have teams reaching out to us from all over the country asking to carry a fallen warrior. So we're telling all the race teams, make sure you stop by our booth at the Mint 400 Tech, and we'll make sure to get you a fallen warrior to carry, so that we can let those families know, you know, that they're going to be honoring your loved one as well as making sure they're not forgotten.
And again, that's if you are racing, no matter what class, I know you've come out to the bullring before, and so you go out and you take a picture of us with that fallen soldier in, you know, by our race car. And then what do you do with that picture?
But I posted on our social media. So we have a Facebook page at Race to Race 22, as well as an Instagram account at Race to Race 22. And I post it and then tag the family members or friends or someone they serve with and let them know that, hey, this team is carrying your loved one today. And then it typically ends into be this beautiful conversation. I know you've seen it before on social media where they start talking to each other. And on these pictures as well, on the back, it's not just their photograph, but on the back is information or story that the family has shared about the loved one.
Oh, do you have one you can?
Yeah, I have one. I have, well, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I wish this
book
was empty.
Book,
yeah, and this doesn't, right. You know, we lose, the statistic is 22 a day. That's an old report from 2016 that the VA came out with. Unfortunately, and that number is not even close. I would say it's 3 times because the way the reporting is done.
Right. So,
but no matter if it's 1 or 22 or 5, it's 1 is too many.
1 is too many.
So, I mean, there's, geez, I can't, it's, I can totally, well, Scott's in here, in fact, who we were talking about earlier from the Montez family.
I ride with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, you carry him. In fact, I think at the bullring when I was there, you were in the pace car and carried him. You were the first one to come to us. So, and that's what happens, too. When somebody finds out we're going to an event, they'll contact us right away and say, hey, we want to make sure and carry. And that's what's happening this week at the Mint 400, is I got several messages today from people, from racers saying, you want to make sure and carry. We Outlaw Racing out of New Mexico just wrote me. They have 5 race vehicles in the Mint 400, and they want to make sure and carry 5 of their brothers. We've had another racer reached out to me today and asked if we could make a poster. He just lost one of his brothers he served with. And we said, absolutely. So we want to put that out there, too. If you have someone you've a fallen warrior who's lost to suicide and would like them to be honored, please reach out to us, and we'll make sure to make a poster and get the information on the back. Because often it's, you know, it's like here's a picture of his family, this young warrior, his kids, So it's just, you know, it's just all different kind of stories that goes behind them, because we want it to be more than just a photograph. We want people to know these are fathers,
right,
mothers, sons, daughters, you know, sisters, brothers. They had a life. There was a lot of life.
And people that loved them.
And loved them. And, you know, and it's not about them wanting to leave their family. When
no.
someone dies by suicide, and even the language we use, we try to not use the word commit because it has a very negative criminal tone to it. And not that we support suicide in any ways. But
it's just a despair. Like, they feel like there's no other option.
Exactly. I can't even imagine being in that place where you feel like there's no other way out. And all too often they think that they're a burden on their families. So they really believe it's that they're doing the, what they can to help their family. And it's not the case. And that's what we're trying to say.
Right.
Listen, and that's what happens, too, when we share these photographs on our wall. We have this huge wall that we carry and post at our booth. And when we start talking about it, we're saying, listen, this is, we don't want you on this wall. You know, we don't want to ever put another person's picture on this wall. So if you're thinking of this, if you're having, you know, thoughts about suicide, let's talk about it, because we can tell you all these families are in despair. You know, they're all suffering, and it's a circle. Like they say the circle from when someone dies from suicide, the circle that it hurts is at least 130 people. Not only the family members, the friends, their coworkers, but just learning about them. I know whenever I'll get emotional, I'm sorry, but whenever I create this poster, it takes me a while because I sit there, you know, and I think about them. And then that rest of the day, I'm just kind of thinking, I'm sad because it doesn't have to happen.
Right.
But we failed as a country. Our VA has failed, our country, our service people, and we need to do better. So this is our way of doing it and trying to reach out and say, listen, it doesn't have to be this way. And let us help you or connect you to resources. We are not the one-size-fits-all kind of thing. But we know we know so many people who are there. There's hundreds of organizations across this country that are willing to help and offer. Racing is not, you know, for everybody, but there's surfing in Southern California. We connect you to scuba diving here in Las Vegas. There are arts and crafts. There's horseback riding, all different kind of things. RC, we're building an RC track on our property.
Oh, fun.
Because we find, and we've talked to several veterans that, you know, when you get this little, whether it's a 24 scale or whatever kind of scale RC car, and you're focusing on getting up this mountain or whatever your obstacle, everything just goes away because you're focusing on something. It's a focusing on a mission. I mean, yeah, it's not a mission to, you know, fight the enemy, but it's a mission to accomplish. You're trying to get this little vehicle or big vehicle through an obstacle. So we feel it's a perfect fit. So that's why we want to build this track to provide race vehicle or RC vehicles to those, so to give them an opportunity to check it out and then hopefully introduce them to something else that maybe that'll be something that they can enjoy. We often, there's a lot of things we don't even advertise that we do. We remove obstacles. So recently we had a Vietnam veteran, and he lived on a very low income, but his apartment burnt here in Las Vegas. He had insurance for like his household goods, you know, that kind of thing. Your renter's insurance will cover that typically. But his joy, his passion to wake up to every day was feeding his fish. He had a fish aquarium. And that was his joy because he had no family and a lot of his friends have passed on. And that's what he loved to do. That's why he got up every single morning. But he couldn't afford to replace it. So someone at the VA reached out to us because we don't have red tape where we're at. You know, we can do whatever we choose to do. And if we have the funds, and we purchased him a 75-gallon aquarium, stocked it with fish and all the food, and promised, you know, if you ever need any additional food, let us know. Just because that's what he needed to do to stay, to wake up, to feel his joy. So no matter what that is, whether it's racing, you know, or rock crawling, we do Jeep adventures, dancing, whatever it is, we'll try to connect you and remove the obstacle so that way you can find some joy.
Well, obviously, we like racing. And I know you were saying about you try and match a first responder with a ride in a vehicle. So is that just like a local racer might say, hey, I need a co-driver?
Yes, it is. So what we try to, right now, we have veteran Craig McIntosh. He's out of Southern California, a veteran himself, and he has a UTV that he races. But his sole purpose and the only reason he built this UTV was to give his fellow and brothers a chance to ride. So you're a navigator with him, typically, a co-rider. And so what you do is you're responsible for all the logistics, watching the GPS, looking out for, you know, traffic, race traffic.
Flat tires,
all those sort of thing. And so that's what we do in off-road racing. Or if other race teams have an open seat and want to do that, we'll connect them with a racer and go with them. The next race we have is a legacy off-road race at the end of March. It starts in Kalliani and ends in Kalliani. It's 325 miles. So Craig is bringing out his UTV, which God bless him. He doesn't ask for any financial support. He puts together this vehicle and replaces it everything he can, every single race. We just provide pit support, entry fees, those sort of things, whatever we can do. And actually, he even pays his entry fees for those part.
Well, what if you want to be involved, but you don't necessarily want to get behind the wheel, maybe you want to support the cause, how can somebody donate to a team like that or to you guys to provide for that?
There's a couple of ways. In fact, right now, the Mint 400, the Military Challenge, if you go to the mint400.com, Military Challenge, and you go to that page, click on that Military Challenge page, look for Race to a Race 22. You can donate there. It's through the Mighty Cause Charitable Foundation. It's this competition they're doing through Saturday. That's one way. On Race to Race 22, our Facebook page, you can make a donation if you like. But we're not all just about donations. We'd love just to have you come out. We encourage.
But if we make a donation, then maybe you can pay for another entry fee.
We are happy for the dollars to be rolling in. And we apply for grants. We do that sort of thing. Because you're a 501c3.
We are a
501c3, so everything is tax deductible. And we're all volunteers, so none of us get paid for what we do. In fact, there are really no admin fees, administration costs, really, compared to most charities, because we pick that up typically. And it's all done just by our heart and our passion.
Yeah, who's paying for the food when you guys do all your barbecues, too?
Actually, it comes through donations or we pick it up or sponsors. We're
so amazing.
Blessed to have some amazing people on board, the Gold South Point Hotel and Casino. They're big supporters. When we have guest veterans come into town, whether it's to help us pit or they're going to race, they usually will give us lodging for that.
Nice.
They also support a lot of, I got to give Pike, Marine Veteran Pike over there, Greg Pike at the South Point. He's always getting us food for our barbecues. So we have this wonderful folks that step up. But, yeah, there's no way we could do it without the donations, whether it's a dollar, you know, $5, it all helps. And all helps us get, you know, folks out, whether it's in the dirt. We're hoping to get some people out in the pavement, you know, get maybe some.
Yeah.
Typically, there's not a co-rider, but maybe we can get some folks out, you know.
If I'm in the pace car, I've got, you know, three extra seats in the pace car.
Oh, there you go. See, that's a great idea. I didn't even think about it. See, I love that idea. Well, we'll have to think about it. Go forward with that. But yeah, it's just, there's ways we also encourage veterans and first responders to get and volunteer at your local racetrack.
Yeah.
Or at the local race. Like, for instance, every off-road race, the only way a race could be put on is through its volunteers. Because you have to have hundreds of people, whether it's checkpoints, retrievals, registration, safety crews, and it takes a village. So we encourage folks to try to connect them to that kind of volunteerism, because it's the best seat in the house. I mean, you're literally steps away from a hot racetrack, watching these people go by, you know, sometimes, you know, 80, 100 miles an hour, or you can't do that in a regular spectator area. And in some off-road races, there is no spectator area. It's all closed.
Right.
And the same with at the Speedway. You know, there's a lot of volunteer positions. So we feel that.
Well, how would someone get involved and just contact you and connect them?
We have our email. You can either message us through our Race to Race 22 Facebook page. Our email is Race to Race, Race, and it's RACETO, ERACE22 at yahoo.com. Just reach out to us and we'll connect you to whatever organization, whether if you're interested in dirt or pavement, we'll get you involved. We also do our Jeep adventures. So we have a wonderful group called the No Name Jeep Club, which is kind of a joke. But Jared Davis and his buddies, many
more. Come on, you couldn't think of a name.
I know. So, hey, I think it's kind of cool, No Name Jeep Club. But they graciously volunteer an open seat in their vehicle, whether most of them are Jeeps, but any kind of four-wheel drive vehicle. And we just recently went to the Winter Jamboree, the Winter 4x4 Jamboree in Sand Hollow, Utah, last month. We had a group of about 40 people that went with us. We rent houses, and we have guests join us. We had first responders. We had police, metro officers, and we had some veterans and active duty actually join us. And they got to go four-wheeling for 3 days all through these amazing trails in Sand Hollow, Utah. And
what a way to take your mind off the stress of your duties.
Oh, it's amazing. It's beautiful landscape. It's exciting because I know it doesn't sound, especially you speed guys, to go, go rock crawling. But I can tell you, if you're going up this thing.
But the focus is the same. Whether you're doing 130 going into, the corner at the short track, or you're trying to rock crawl up a thing, it's that same focus. Like you said, nothing else matters. You're focused on that task.
Exactly.
Anytime you're behind the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they say. There
could be a wagon.
Well, and not everybody could race. Not everybody can go fast or go over the bumps. But rock crawling kind of is slow. It's a slow pace, so you can take your time. Or you can get out. If there's an obstacle, you can, get out of the vehicle and watch them go, help them go navigate through a course. So it's just a great opportunity. But at night is when it's really cool because we all sit together. We're cooking together. But the conversations that these guys have, I witnessed some amazing conversations between our veterans that for the first time in many instances, the first time they actually talked about what they've seen and what they've been. And then those are new friendships and new connections that will last a lifetime. So we recently, at the last race we had, we flew in a Canadian veteran who came into town, Josh. And he was like similar to our special forces here. I can't remember what they actually call them in Canada. And he was talking to
Special Forces A.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty funny. And he was telling us about how one of his worst assignments was a protective assignment over in Iraq or somewhere. And he had to ride a camel for 8 hours with his weapon. And he had to ride side saddle because his weapon would get in the way. So he said it was the most horrible assignment. But then the gentleman next to him, who was Special Forces here stateside, said, I had the same kind of assignment. And they talked about these camel riding adventures. Oh, wow. This is the most bizarre thing, but they could relate because whether two different countries, they were in the same place, the same locale, there are these forces that united against the enemy. So it was just really cool to say it's no borders, and with our allied forces. And it's something special that I will remember for my entire life.
Wow, that's cool.
I think this has been the most memorable races in Cedar City last year. We had a couple of veterans, Adam Poppenhouse, the local double amputee. And actually he comes from a stock car background. He's a gearhead for sure. But they built this ATV, it's a four-wheeler quad, but they wanted to build it for our amputees. So there's certain things, obstacles in the way. So they came up with the air shifter because you can't, we had a double amputee and two single leg amputees going to race this for the very first time. Two of them had never even raced a quad, raced in the desert even. And so these guys worked on this bike to make sure it got put together. And they slept in our shop for 4 days straight because things weren't going right. And they lost one bike, so they had to build a brand new one with a matter of hours. So that itself was an accomplishment to get it to race day. And then during the race day, Mike, one of the racers, Mitchell, he single amputee, he was racing, had a good time, and he came into one of the pits, and my husband said, my God, what can we do for you? He goes, well, I lost my leg. He goes, what do you mean you lost your leg? Well, yeah, it fell off back there. And they go, oh, what's, they panic. My husband goes, what should we do? Well, no, I stuck it in my backpack. I got it here. Here was this racer coming in on a quad with a leg hanging out the back. People were just licking. So he goes, don't worry, don't put it on. I feel better, actually. I can get closer to the bike without it. Just strap it on the bottom. So when I end the race, I'll have something to walk on. So So then they switched.
Oh, now you got to add that.
Yeah.
A place to put your...
your leg, you know, who would have thought, right? So then he did fine, and then the next rider was a double amputee, Adam, who actually got on to finish the race, and he got on and he ended up coming into the finish line along with our bike team, all two of our bike teams that were there at the same time.
Wow.
And the emotions at this finish line I've never seen before, because all the competitors were involved in this because they saw what we were going through the entire day, and the track officials were all there at this finish line. And when they came through and just the emotions, and all these guys were crying, not only because the pit crew and the team that got this bike to even be here was amazing, an accomplishment in itself, but then these three guys getting on this bike and finishing was one of the most amazing things, because it's something that they was not maybe thought of ever before.
Right.
You know, it was something they thought was an obstacle that maybe wouldn't ever happen, and we conquered it as a team due to the wonderful, amazing people who involved, and that's what it's about, coming
right.
together as a team,
yeah.
completing a mission.
And sometimes that's the difference between total despair, not having any other options, and sometimes it's, you know, when you come back from, like, the military, for example, and you come back to regular world, you're like, you don't know your place. But if you have another mission, you're on a team, if nothing else, you don't want to let your team down. Maybe that could be the difference right there.
You're absolutely correct. It is. And that's what we are hoping to get our active duty. That's why we've kind of really working on getting active duty involved now. So that's half the battle. So that way they have the support team before they even transition out of the military life.
Right.
So that we're a step ahead, hopefully. Because it is, it's all about finding your purpose. All too often, we've talked to veterans and said, you know what, I miss my purpose. I miss my guys, my girls, the people I serve with. I don't mm-hmm. have that team anymore.
And racing is just like that.
It is. So that's why it's the perfect fit. Whether, like I said, it doesn't matter what type of racing, it really doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
But it's the team. It's really what it is, getting to the race.
And as a racer, I mean, I love driving the car, but I haven't driven my own car for a couple of years now, and yet I feel still just as connected as a part of the team of running the Bullring, for example, just being a part of that, or helping Gary, run Blythe Speedway. It's like like you said, it's a purpose. Like, it's almost as much fun as driving.
Oh, no, I totally.
Not quite.
Yeah, almost. I did say almost.
She did have a caveat. Almost. No, it's true. It truly
but
is.
But if you couldn't drive, like, what if you didn't have an opportunity? Being a part of that is important. I think as humans, we aren't supposed to be alone. We are a social animal. We have to have those connections with other people. And in the military, you get that. You rely on each other. You have to support each other for survival. And it's kind of like that in racing. If you want to survive to the end of the race, everybody has to work together.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And in the military, you're told what to wear, what time to get up, what time to go to bed, what you're going to do, where everything is structured.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you get out, oh, here's your DD-214, and, good luck. See you later.
Here's your bus ticket.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's getting better. I think there are, fortunately, some branches are better than others, and I think they're slowly, too slow, in my opinion, but we're slowly getting to a better place. But, so this is your purpose. And like I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be racing. But find your purpose.
Well, it kind of does. I mean, what is there else besides racing, right?
All right.
No. Well, for today, yes.
And we recently worked with a racetrack back in Tennessee, which is pretty cool, because here in Las Vegas, I get a call from this veteran racing back in Tennessee, outside of Nashville, and wanting to be involved with Race to a Race. So the track, Duck Creek Raceway is what it's called. I've got to give them a shout out. But last summer, they adopted Race to a Race 22 and had one of the races in honor of us.
Very cool.
And they had most of the racers carry a fallen warrior. And it was just a really cool experience, because here we're out in Las Vegas, Nashville's all the way across country, and yet they wanted to support us. And it's not supporting us, really. It's supporting
the families.
The families, yeah. And the military. We have some amazing families that we carry their loved ones, the Selinsky family. Jaylen is a mother. Two twin brothers died by suicide a year apart from each other. I can't imagine being a mom or being just a human, losing one of your children, but then to lose two. And she has a third son at the time who was also active duty. And so she was, you know, saying, Debbie, what do I do? How am I going to protect my, you know? And I said, you know, you just got to be there, continue to support. And she goes, well, fortunately, he's deciding to get out. But what is he? A police officer. So her, you know, her family are warriors. They were, you know, that her sons were all warriors. So it's something that they want to do and serve their community as well as their country. So we're here to support Jaylen and all the families and do what we can to help them get through to each day. You know, there's no timeline or deadline on grieving. I don't care what people say, and they can go pound rocks for what I see. If someone tells you to get, you know, people say, get over it. You know, it's been
long
enough. I
don't think it ever goes away.
It does not. That hole is in your heart forever.
That's just part of it.
But you try to learn ways to cope, or, you know, and hopefully we are giving a little bit of reprieve, a little bit of hopefulness to these families that, listen, as long as we keep saying their names, sharing their stories, talking about them, then they're not gone. They may not physically be here, but they'll forever be in their hearts and our hearts, and we'll be able to, you know, laugh and cry about them and share their wonderful stories that they're still here with us.
Yeah, that's great. About the families, I would imagine, you know, what if that's such a tragic, you know, loss? I would imagine that you would open up volunteer opportunities for family members too, to, you know, if you're a family member of somebody that's taken their life, you can still join like the Mint 400 and volunteer out there, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely. And we've had family members reach out and help us at our booths whenever we go to different events. Anytime we can get in front of people and have the time to be able to do it, we're there, because there could be a conversation. That conversation could be had no matter what it's, you know, where we're at.
Don't sit in your despair either.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important. You know, we want to support them as well. I mean, it's important that people know that, you know, we need to be here there for them. All too often when someone dies in any kind of way, but especially in suicide, you know, everybody's hovering around them for, you know, the day, the week, a few weeks. But it's after that. Mm-hmm. It's the quiet, the empty night.
The empty.
You know, it's the silence. And then people, you know, all families want to do is talk about their loved one. But then others, they say, you know, why are you talking about them so much? And I'm thinking, oh, and that's, you know, it hurts them. So then they shut down. They don't want to talk anymore because they feel like they're not insulting, but annoying other people, which we say, no, I want to hear your stories. Most of these people are my kids. Sophie Champeau, I got to say, is a medic, Army medic. She was one of the very first veterans we carried. And Sophie's story is horrific, but I'm going to share it because it needs to be told. She was an Army medic, and she was serving stateside. She was on base, and unfortunately, one of her fellow soldiers decided to attack her and rape her. So she was assaulted on base. Unfortunately, they were investigating him but didn't do anything. She was deployed to Iraq, where there she befriended an Afghani family, helped them. The Taliban was starving this one town that they were helping. So she snuck food to this family in hopes just to help them. And the Taliban found out and unfortunately killed the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie thought it was her fault, but that wasn't her fault. It was this horrible enemy that was there. But, you know, as a soldier, you're there to protect. And so everything falls, you know, you feel like it falls on your shoulders. Then, unfortunately, while serving there, while deployed there, she was attacked again by a fellow soldier and assaulted. So she had written her mom and told her mom, listen, mom, I don't know how to protect myself. I'm not afraid of the enemy. I'm not afraid of the Afghani people. I'm afraid of my fellow soldier.
Oh, that's true.
Because I feel like I have to put a K-bar whenever I go to the, you know, take a shower. It's just, she didn't know how to protect herself, and she's a soldier. She runs, you know, Army medics are the ones who run in with all the fire, you know, they're going in to help their brothers and sisters. So she was beside herself because she didn't know how to protect herself. Well, she made it home, fortunately, and came back home and was stationed back east. And the human, like, I can't even say a better word for him, or I can't say it on here, because he wasn't arrested, the first soldier that attacked her. He found her, stalked her, and assaulted her again. So her army couldn't protect her. Our country couldn't protect her. Her fellow soldiers couldn't protect her. In fact, she was attacked by her fellow soldiers every single time. And she had enough. She said, what's the point? What can I do? There's no way I can protect myself. I've been trained to fight, but I can't protect myself. So she ended her life on base. And that story is not unheard of, unfortunately, especially by our women military. So her mom, Susie, shared her story with me. We became very close friends. And Sophie, I felt, was this long-lost, not daughter, but just someone I take care of with me everywhere I go, and share her story. Unfortunately, we lost Susie during COVID, to COVID. Mm. So she's no longer here, but she's with her daughter, you know, and they're raising hell, I can tell you right now. Because Sophie was loved Jeeps. In fact, one of the stories she shared with me, her mom shared with me, is she was out tooling around in a Jeep in this vacant field that was the contractors are getting ready to do some construction. They were going to have to take all the weeds and stuff. So Sophie one night decided to go do donuts for hours. Well, started it on fire, all the brush on fire, burnt her Jeep to the ground.
Aww.
But the contractor said, hey, thank you, ma'am, because you cleared it for us. Now we don't have to pay to get it cleared out. But she lost her Jeep in it. But I wish, you know, I wish I could have met Sophie while she was here, but I feel like she's, you know, I carry her in my heart. But all these, you know, they all are a part of us, because I know when you read their stories, they become a part of you. And they certainly become a part of the racers, because, you know, they read about them and
right.
they learn more. And
so everybody listening that's a race car driver, you can also carry a fallen, you know, first responder or soldier, reach out to Race to a Race. You can get one of these posters if you want. And then, you know, send them a picture. So every time we're behind the wheel, you know, we can carry one with us. So I know Blythe Speedway, you just opened Blythe Speedway. That's a great thing to bring
yes,
there. And of course the Bull Ring. Any race this weekend is the Mint 400.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that.
Oh, no, it should be a great time. Like, it'll be Friday and Saturday are racing all day out at Prim. I'm really excited because we have limited cars on Friday. So I know Jake Collins is racing a 1600 car, and he already called me today. This young man always carries a fallen warrior with him and makes sure. So he'll be out there. We'll be supporting so many teams. And then Saturday morning, the bikes.
Caleb's
racing on Saturday.
Carrying his uncle.
Yep. And he'll be carrying, he always carries Scott with him. We have Brenna Gerke racing UTV, and she's carrying a young lady, Alexis Johnson, another female veteran we lost to suicide. And Rylan Gaughan is also carrying a warrior, actually somebody we just added. Unfortunately, he'll be carrying him this weekend. So
if you're racing this weekend, reach out to Debbie, carry a fallen soldier, please. And even if you aren't racing and you want to support them, come out to Contingency on Thursday on the Fremont Street. You can make a donation. You can take your pictures with other fallen soldiers and still honor them right there. Volunteer at the booth. I'm sure you could use some help at the booth. Isn't it like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it's 9 to 5 p.m. It's
okay.
A long day, though, because on your feet, no. The more the merrier, just come out. We'd love to just talk to you. And we have resources on our table. So
yeah, and if you're struggling, please come. Please come say hi to us.
Yes, please. We would love it. We'd love to see all your faces.
Yes. And then go out to the races. That's open to the public. I think you have to pay for parking.
Yeah, there's parking and there's spectator areas you have to pay for. But it's all on the Mint 400 website. Different areas that they have. But I can tell you it's going to be some exciting racing, especially Saturday afternoon when the trophy trucks get going. Those machines are insane, so it's pretty exciting.
Why I go to Mexico. Trophy trucks and tacos.
Yes, well, tacos and trophy trucks. Depends on what order.
Trophy trucks and then tacos. I'd rather have a trophy truck and eat any day. But also, if you can't go to the Mint, we also are racing the Bull Ring this weekend. So if you're a Bull Ring driver, you can also come by Thursday, pick up a soldier to drive with you on that. And Blythe, you're off this weekend, correct?
Yes.
You guys raced last weekend, though?
Yes.
How was that?
That was great.
Race number two?
Yes.
Successful?
Very.
Nice.
Yes.
You look a little sunburned. Did you get some sun out of Blythe?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay, good.
Snowing in Blythe?
Nope.
How was the weather?
It was like 72 degrees.
Oh, nice.
I want to go to Blythe. Let's go to Blythe.
It was a beautiful Saturday.
Nice.
Nice day for racing.
Yes. Any day a nice day for racing?
Yes, absolutely. When's Blythe's next race?
April 1st.
Okay.
It is
a
day day race.
Because of the...
We just moved.
We don't know.
Isn't
this weekend the fair in Blythe?
No, next week.
Next weekend is the fair in
Blythe. The 16th through the 19th.
Okay. Well, you could put a fallen soldier in your display vehicles also.
Yes.
So another way to get the word out.
Yes. We'll
have conversations.
Two or three, two or three of them out there.
Or any, I like how you any interruptions. Just be the interruption. So anytime you can, you know, put that out there to have start a conversation about anything.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to be about what the struggles. It's just a conversation. And organically, a lot of times, especially if they feel comfortable, you know, they'll share, you know, what they can with you. But, yeah, it's important.
And I think racing is the perfect vehicle for this because, like you said, it is a mission. You know, when you're driving or you're trying to get the car to the track, that is a complete mission. And even like you were saying, behind the wheel, that's all you know. That's your whole focus.
And racing is the most patriotic people. Almost every racer I know is patriotic, so it's perfect.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know any other sport where, you know, you see so many American flags and just – and it doesn't matter. You know, I never get into politics because I think politics gets in the way of good work. But, it's just about – believing in our country is what it's about, you know, and supporting our country. We're the greatest nation ever. So,
for sure.
Oh my gosh. So,
Some of the other fundraising things that you've done, well, I don't even know if you raised money, but I remember you did the toy drive. Tell us about, you do other things.
Toy drive. That's one of my favorite times of year because I do love Christmas. But what we do is we do a toy drive in December, and we partner with, or we actually adopt Bolden Area Command, which is a Metropolitan Police Command, in a very an area where is lower economic area and a lot of violence,
here in Vegas,
here in Las Vegas. And so what the police officers do is during that week of Christmas, they take these toys that have been donated to them and they deliver them out through the community. It's surprising. They're not pre-selecting. They just go and they know they're a very community-driven police force. They are very involved. They do all kinds of activities. So they know where people are really struggling. And they deliver these toys and gifts to the families, surprising them, which is amazing because it not only is helping a family, especially, you know, what kid doesn't want a toy when they wake up for, you know? So it helps the families as well as the police officers. It's really good community policing, you know, gets them to let them know, hey, listen, they're not just here, you know, to arrest or to fight crime, but they're here to support you and they're your partners for your community. So we do that. We had trailers full of toys donated this year. It was so awesome. Wonderful people throughout the off-road community, the racing community, as well as I work in the legal community, so they all stepped on board and donated. And we also donated a gift to a local hospice, ProCare Hospice. Their pediatric unit has over
a pediatric hospice.
Yeah. Now, can you even just saying that? It just makes me cry because I just couldn't imagine again. Mm-hmm. Your child is here, you know, is not going to be here for much longer. Cause typically in hospice, you know, that's the end of the road. So they had over 100 children in their hospice facility. So she asked me, Debbie, can you guys come up with toys? I said, yeah. Well, hell yeah. You know, we can't say no to that. And the community stepped up and we delivered enough toys for all the children plus their siblings. Because also, you know, their siblings, they have brothers and sisters. And when your family's suffering with a critical medical situation like that, often there's not money, and you know, to go, you know, so... We did that, and then for the veterans living in a hospice, we also provided gifts for the over 75 veterans in their hospice facility. So the community blankets, shoes, toiletries, treats, to make sure that they're not forgotten either during the holidays.
So yet
this is another, our third year of doing that.
Awesome. Yet another way to support Race Turn Race.
Yes. Yeah.
So
toy drive.
Money.
Toys. Volunteerism.
Do you have an extra seat in your vehicle?
Yes, for a
veteran.
We, like I said, we do Jeep. You know, if you have a Jeep and want to go with us and have an empty seat to carry somebody, just get a hold of us.
All right. Debbie, thank you so much. Good luck this weekend with your team that you've adopted. Hope you guys come in first place.
Wait, you know what? It really isn't the finish. It's how we race coming together. So thank you so much for having us tonight. We really appreciate the support.
Thank you. Never forget.